Okay, we've got a few minutes before we start with a great guest today. What's up with you guys? How are you doing? I am so happy to have a few minutes with you guys alone because I wanted to run something past you guys. Is that cool? Okay. So I was thinking, like, should I do like a special introduction, like, welcome everybody today. No? Not too much? Oh, what about... Yo, everybody, guess who? No? I know. What was I thinking? I'm so silly. Okay. So what do you guys have in mind? Am I doing it again? I'm tripping. Okay, right? I've done plenty of these. I just go with the flow. Go with the flow, Brandy. Go with the flow. You guys always know the right things to say and do. But you know what? Well, did you also know that today we have here with us the great actress, talented, lovely Liz Priestley? Well, now you know. And Liz Priestley is here with us talking about her new movie coming out in let me just say, wait until you find out who Liz gets to kick it with in the movie and much more about her. So Liz, I'm just so stoked to have you here, and welcome Voices of Courage, because you are a voice, a beautiful voice, and an inspiration. So welcome, Liz Priestley. Let's go.
Everybody, thank you for tuning in to my show. I'm Brandy J, your host, and I have with me today someone truly amazing. We have Liz Priestley, right? You want me to call you, it's appropriate to say your whole name, but am I calling you Liz? Am I calling you Mrs. Priestley? Like, what would you like me to say?
Oh my goodness, please call me Liz, please. I'm so informal. Liz.
Well, hey then, Liz, how you do?
Hi, girl, hi.
And here she is, ladies and gentlemen, the lovely Miss Liz.
Hello.
So happy to have you here.
Oh, I'm happy to be here. This is going to be fun.
Thank you. So how did, like, so acting, this was like what you've, it seems like, from what I know and then I read, this is something that you wanted to do, like, majority, like, your whole life. Like, you're just, like, entertainment, like, opera, violin, like, you're just, like, one talented walking soul.
Well, thank you. Welcome. Yeah, no, I always wanted to do this. Ever since I was a kid, I just got sent a video recently from my uncle of me as like a 6 or 7 year old, and it's like right around the time that my dad got his first video camera, and I'm just, you know, I am like just trying so hard to be the center of attention in every single frame as he's just trying to go through the house using his new camera. I am literally jumping out of corners, singing songs. Like, I've always been that kid that just felt at home in front of a camera. But yeah, I had some detours along the way. I did, you know, well, I wouldn't say detours, but you know, I've done some other things on the way. I am an opera singer and also a musical theater graduate, and you know, I'm also a violinist and some other instruments. And so all of that sort of performing experience has all kind of led to where I am. But, you know, and I've done theater for, you know, 25 years or so. But it's all just kind of been with the idea in my head that, like, yeah, but I want to make movies. Mm-hmm. You know, that was always when I was a kid. I want to be that person that makes movies. Who does that? An actor? Oh, yeah, I want to be that, you know. So, yeah, absolutely.
Holy totally. So then I guess theater came like when you your first like acting moment was that like basically in theater and plays and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I was in school, we always did school plays every year, the class plays that you had to be in, whether you wanted to act or not. But I always thought they were so fun. And like, I couldn't understand how people had like stage fright or, you know, anything like that. I always thought they were so fun. And then, you know, I had older siblings who were involved in like high school plays, and I saw that and I was like, oh, I can't wait till I get to be old enough to do those ones. And I did all of those. And then during, you know, high school, I started doing, you know, community theater, and I'm like, oh yeah, I want to work with people outside of my school. And then it became, oh, I can go to college and do this, you know. It just kept growing. But yeah, I've always been, you know, kind of drawn to that life, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. But out of all those, like, which one was your, like, favorite, like, stage performance or a play? Like, which one was the one that...
Ooh. Gosh. I've had a lot of really, really good ones over the years. I would say my favorite stage... Oh, boy. My favorite? Oh, man.
Too many, huh? Good one.
I guess I would probably say my favorite was, I think it was like 2013 or it was 2015. I did a production of Ruined at Stagecrafters Theater here in Germantown, Pennsylvania. And I believe Stagecrafters is the oldest theater in the U.S. But it was a particular cool role, excuse me, for me, because, you know, I was playing a fictional character, but based on real life circumstances, which is oddly similar to what the movie I'm making my debut in is also like. But, you know, it had to do with women in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, which has, at least at that time, and I believe is still the case, had the highest rate of sexual assault towards women. Mm. And because it's just a war-torn country with an ongoing conflict. And so the term ruined, which is also the title of the play, refers to when a woman is mutilated and not able to have children. So I played a character who had been ruined and who was like on the run, basically. And my uncle, you know, has a female friend who runs a bar and a brothel, and he drops me off there to basically keep me safe, because he's like, at least here, you know, she can work, she can earn some money, and, you know, soldiers won't come looking for her, type of thing. So, and I tend to go towards those dramatic roles anyway. I really like dramatic stuff. I love doing drama. I don't really consider myself a comedic actress. I think I just am funny in life, but not really so much acting. I don't know. But so I, you know, I was excited to do that. And then, you know, for the character I was portraying, I got to, you know, shave my head, which I wear my hair kind of short anyway, but this was like, you know, really close to the scalp kind of thing, like, you know. Yeah. So it was an incredible moment to be able to wear my hair like that for an extended period of time. And doing the research for the role, it was just very moving. I mean, we did a lot of research as a cast. We listened to firsthand accounts of women who had gone through these kinds of things, and it was just a really moving experience. And every night the audiences really just seemed to respond so strongly to what the story was that we were bringing them. And so that one sticks out in my mind as a favorite. I think I would say that. And my character also got to sing a lot. I was the only character that sang. That was her thing is, you know, because she's ruined, she can't be in the brothel, but she can sing in the bar.
Huh.
So I got to sing quite a bit in that show. And it was just, you know, it was all around fun.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah, it's very touching, like, you know, to be able to experience something, you know, like that, even though, you know, the circumstances with what it is, you know, disheartening and sad, but just to experience it, in the way that you did and get and got to learn from it too. Mm-hmm. Seems pretty life-changing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, it was absolutely like, I'll never forget that story and that country. And, you know, people don't know, all the essential components for cell phones come from that country. And they basically have mined that country completely dry. Like, there's no more of it, basically.
Wow.
So, yeah, and that's, excuse me, that's basically what started the conflict in the first place. And so it's a very, you know, it's very rich in its history. And it's, who wrote that? Lynn Nottage wrote that. And she's got, you know, quite a few powerful plays out there. But yeah, you know, it was just a really cool experience from start to finish in that particular one.
Well, I'm definitely going to have to look out for that so I could check it out. I would love to know more about that. That story.
Yeah, absolutely. It's worth reading for sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Well, on a lighter note, what do you have, like an embarrassing one or like the funniest? I know you got something where you're like, oops, this did, I didn't mean for this to happen.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I don't think you do theater for 25 years and not have some things happen. I mean, I know that I've had many experiences where I've, you know, I've gone on at the wrong time, like, or, you know, I can't remember any experiences where I've gone on and I can't remember, or I couldn't remember what I needed to say. Like, I always, because I'm obsessive about my lines, so I can't remember anything like that, but I hate to tell the story because I don't want to throw this person under the bus. I'm not going to say the person's name, but it does stick out. I told this story once, so I'm going to tell it again. But I was in a production of 12 Angry Men. And if anybody's listening to this that was in it, they're going to know exactly what I'm talking about as soon as I say that. But I, you know, our production was really cool for several reasons because it was, we were doing it the summer after the Trayvon Martin case had happened, and it was after George Zimmerman had been acquitted. So it was that summer. So people were very hot about that issue. And, you know, if you know anything about the story, it's about, you know, a jury of 12 people sitting there trying to decide the fate of a teenage boy on some very flimsy evidence. And, you know, in the beginning of it, it's one person versus the 11 who just want to get out of there. And it's one guy saying, like, no, let's really slow down and look at this. This doesn't add up. And as the play goes on, it becomes 11 people versus a different guy who's like, this kid is guilty no matter what you say. And everyone else has been swayed to be like, listen, there's credible doubt here. So, you know, and in the original production, it's heavily implied that the teenage boy that they're talking about is at the very least a person of color. I've always assumed that it was a black person. But, you know, the mostly white jury in the original production, and then you have one character who was a Russian Orthodox man, or Russian Orthodox Jewish man. So in our production, it was an all black cast and it was pretty evenly split. I think it was 6 men, 6 women. And we never did define whether the boy, what race the boy was. We kind of left that up to audience interpretation. So that was interesting. But in our version, I played what would have been the Russian Orthodox Jewish man, but we changed it into, she was like a African refugee from Rwanda. But in one of our shows, we had a day where there were two shows back to back, and between shows, one of our jury members decided to go out and have a few drinks and then came back to do the second show and just was like completely drunk on stage. And it was like only a few of us kind of knew going into it that he was drunk, and the rest of us found out very quickly that he was drunk. And so it was like, you know, when you see the car accident before it happens, or like you see the train is about to go off the tracks, but you know that there's nothing you can do to stop it. It was just kind of like, we're all sitting there and it's, you know, it was just a mess, you know, he's just jumping in with other people's lines and jumping in with his own commentary. Like, it was just all over the place. And it was like, we were just sitting there completely powerless to stop it. And it just sticks out in my mind for, you know, don't drink before shows, guys.
Look, maybe practice, but not the show.
I mean, you know, like I said, I didn't say a name and I didn't say where we did it, so hopefully you can still you can still air that story. But, years ago now. It would have been like 5 or 6 years ago anyway. So yeah, but yeah. I mean, you know, that I just I'll never forget that performance and the argument that went down after.
So where can I find this signal? Like, where's this one running? I'll be the judge of how it went.
Yep, exactly. Yep.
So, man, you know, that sounds memorable. It sounds quite embarrassing for that person and memorable.
It's embarrassing for us during. I think it was embarrassing for
oh my gosh, after, I know.
But for us during, it was like none of us knew what to do. And it's like, you know, and when you're an actor and you're on stage and something goes wrong, you learn how to play through it. And we all just kept trying to play through it in our own ways and not together. So it was all over the place. I don't know quite what that audience thought of it at the end, but they got a very different show.
Right. But they probably have a story too. I went to this one play and to this day.
Awful.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. That was hilarious. If you can't laugh at certain things, then you know what it's like.
Well, exactly. Exactly. I mean, yeah, at the end of the day, it's a funny story. So.
I'm so happy that Steve, you know, put you in my path. I was excited.
Yeah, me too. Steve is awesome.
Yes. Shout out to Steve.
Steve is so cool. Yeah, I just started working with him. This is my third week working with him. And I can't say enough great things about Steve. I think he's so cool.
Yes. The only thing I can't see myself laughing at is the year 2020, but anything other than that, pretty good.
you gotta find something, you know, the little things every day in life. This year has been such a I have
see,
no
look.
Words.
Look, that's what I was just about to say. I was like, look, you can't even get it out.
I you know, just when you think that something it's cat
right.
That's the worst it can get, something else happens and you're just
like, it seems like every else? Day
like what else,
right? So, that's like nothing can surprise me anymore. I'm just like, yeah, okay, cool.
I thought I was there and then, you know, like more celebrities are dying and that surprised me. And I just every time I think I'm like, yeah, I can't be surprised anymore, and then something happens. So I think I should just stop saying that out loud. I must be jinxing myself. I don't know.
I'm like, you could tell me the dinosaur walking down the street, I'd be like, yeah, probably is.
most likely. Like, it's like, all right.
You know, I just like went through it. I'm like, I can't. I don't even ask anymore. I'm just kind of like, like it's not even a question. I'm just like, well, it's another day.
I'm afraid to like read the news now. Like when I wake up and I go to my news pages online, I'm like, all right, what's it gonna say today? And you know, half the time it's, what did he do now? You know, it's like,
right, what did he do? Right? Like, dang it, I can't take you nowhere. No, like, sit down, please.
No, it's just, you know, it's exhausting. You wake up with a headache and it just doesn't go
I know. I was for sure he was going to rest when I found out. I was like, okay, you can stay home. Just get some rest, sir. And just,
no,
don't say
no
nothing.
Rest.
Don't do nothing.
No rest. Hey, you know, he's trying to get stuff done.
Oh, man. That's too funny. It's not funny, but it's too funny.
I am not trying to offend my conservative people out there. Maybe he's getting shit done. That's all.
Yeah. You know that, right? Maybe it's what they're all talking about. Because I'm just like, what's happening? Well, I guess we'll see.
Yeah. We'll see. We will see. In the meantime, every day I wake up with a new sense of trepidation. But all right.
And you know how people say, like, well, that's why I don't watch the news and I don't do that. I'm like, at this point, it doesn't even matter if you do or don't. You're going to hear something. All you got to do is talk to another person, a human being. You're going to find out.
You might as well. We're all home.
Yeah.
Better to do. So you might as well read about it and watch it and, you know, educate yourself and vote in November, folks.
All right.
At this point, I'm like, all right, it's October, what, 9th? We got a month to go? All right.
right. I'm like not even thinking of that day really until it like happens the day before.
Yep. Everybody.
No, look at my nerves bad.
That's all I can say. Everyone vote. Yep. I think is best.
Yeah, please vote. Please vote.
Yeah.
I know I was doing some things wrong. So true. So true. Chloe, back at the ranch. Okay, where things are so much lighter.
Yeah, I was at a ranch. That's really funny, actually.
Oh, man, too funny, too funny. My goodness. So, Miss Liz, I got a question.
All right, lay it on.
When, or what was it like? I'm gonna rub my hands together too. I'm like, what was it like to work with Mr. Idris Elba?
I mean, I'm sure it's about as lovely as you can imagine. Really, do you think I'm gonna be that girl that's gonna sit here and be like, he was awful? Gosh, he was terrible to work. Not torture. Like, no, of course not. He was fantastic. We had 2 days together, basically. I'll tell you, the first time I met him, because this was an unusual casting process in the sense that, like, normally we would have met at some point in the audition process for a chemistry read or just to, you know, see if we looked right together or whatever. But we didn't do any of that. And in fact, I really didn't even realize that I was up for the part of the wife until close to the end of the process. And even then I was just like, I mean, they're going to get a name. Like, they're going to call up Lupita. Like, they're not, they're going to call up Carrie. You know, like, it's not it's gonna be a body double stand-in, whatever. But I met him. My first day meeting him, and of course I met Caleb McLaughlin that day, and I met Caleb like 10 minutes before I met Idris, so it was overwhelming in that sense because most of my scenes were with Caleb. So and I met him and they immediately put us on a horse together, and I was just like, okay. It's like you're on a horse with two people. The bigger person goes in the back and they have to hold on to the person in the front. So I've met Caleb for all of 5 minutes and now we're on a horse with my arm around him. And I'm thinking he's like an 11-year-old kid from Stranger Things and he's this like 17-year-old man just sitting on a horse. Like, it's just very odd. So then we get on this horse and they pull us up next to this other horse and I turn to my right and a foot away from me is Idris Elba smiling at me. And he's just smiling at me. And I, first words out of my mouth, I look at him and I go, "Oh, hello, husband." And he looks at me and goes, "Oh, hello, wife." And I just was like, "I'm going to fall off this horse. I'm going to die now." Like, what? he was so very sweet. That first day, we didn't get to chat too much. But the second day that we had was the day that I was like, oh, my. We did get to chat a little bit between scenes, and he's just lovely. I think he's actually, I would describe him as a little shy, to be honest with you, but he's lovely. He was like asking me, he said, what would I know you from? What have I seen you in? What have you done? And I said, no, this is my first thing ever. You know, you wouldn't have seen me in anything unless you go to theater in Philadelphia for some reason. And he was just like, he was like, wait a minute, this is your first thing? And I was like, yeah, my first film. And he's like, I get to be in your film debut? And I was like, I'm sorry? Like, you get to be in my debut? You know, like, it was just so sweet. And we were talking about his, you know, how he's a DJ. He had just flown in from, like, Ibiza right before filming. And I said, oh, and you're a rapper now, too. And he just kind of, like, made a face. And I was like, nah. As soon as I knew I got cast in this thing, I've been blasting your song, Bozy, on, like, repeat for, like, 3 weeks now. Don't tell me you're not a rapper. And then I rapped part of the song back to him. And I, if you cannot tell by my voice already, am not a rapper. And he laughed. And I didn't care. He laughed at me and I was like, I don't care. I made it just have a laugh. That's amazing. But yeah, he said to me that he thought that I did excellent. And, you know, of course, that just meant everything. And the scene itself, I don't want to give too much away, but the big scene I have with him, there's no dialogue. So it was really weird because I'm like, you know, the whole leading up to it, everyone's like, you know, he's just a man. Just remember, he's just a man. I'm like, he is not just a man. And then get up close to him and you're like, he's just a man. He's just a man. Man, he's just a man. And then there's nothing to say, so I have no dialogue to fall back on. I have nothing really to rely on other than I'm looking in your eyes and you're looking in my eyes. And it's just like, you know, no, you're not just a man. You are a very you're like right in my face. Like, you know, and the costume people, I don't know if she did this on purpose, but if you notice in the promotional shot from the movie of him on the horse, that was the day we shot. And in the promotional shot, his shirt is buttoned up. But in the scene, you'll notice the first three buttons are buttoned down and he's bare chested. And that was because I made nice with the costume person. And she, on that day, she walked up to him and she's like, let's just undo some of these buttons. Let's just 1, 2, 3. And then she walked by me and she's just winking at me. And she's like, you're welcome. So yeah, I did get to touch him. It was great. I got to be nice and close. It was hilarious. I honestly almost feel bad talking about him this way because honestly, if it was reversed, I'd be like, don't say that. But he is a beautiful man.
I understand.
Very sweet. His wife was there. They were newly married at the time, and she was there on set. I got to meet her. She was very nice too. So it was just very like, it was kind of like they were checking out my, you know, my hometown and just kind of chilling with the Philly people. Like it was great. It was all around great.
That's awesome. I'm like all living vicariously through what you, I felt like I was there for the every moment right now. I saw every moment. Like, I have that type of mind, too. Like, you know how you read a book with no pictures, but I swear I've seen every moment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's just, you know, you get up close to him, and it's like, he's not In the scene that we did where, you know, there was no dialogue, because of the nature of our relationship in the movie, we're not smiling. So, because in life, when you get up close to him and he smiles at you, it's, you know, it's, he's got these beautiful white teeth. It's, I don't know what it is, but it's just, you know, it's magnetic. And you're just like, you kind of just stand there like, and then in the scene, my, you know, my plan was to go in and, you know, kind of shed a few tears. And we had done a couple takes and I couldn't cry because I would get up close to him and just kind of take on this face of like, oh, like I'm in this light of glory. Like, he's not even smiling. He's grimacing at me. And I'm still just like, this is the most beautiful man. Like, you know, he's just, and so,
Oh man, that's nice. Funny.
Like, so nice. We had, there were, you know, we shot in the middle of August and at the end of August. And that's up here anyway, in Pennsylvania. That's big rainy season, thunderstorm season for us. And so there were a few night shoots that we had where we had to just stop and wait out, you know, thunderstorms or rainstorms and things like that. And he would just like sit around with all the, because we have real life cowboys in the movie as well, playing cowboys. He would sit around with the other cowboys and just like shoot the breeze. I know there was a night where they had a shot where they were sitting around a campfire. And I know that for like hours afterwards, he just sat there with them around the campfire and they were just chilling. Like, he was just so incredibly down to earth and so nice. And I feel like he really just threw his whole support behind like the community, the Philadelphia community and the Black community. Because, you know, he got involved in this because he said to his agent, I want you to find me a script that uplifts the Black community. And that's what they brought him. Yeah. So it's just like,
that's awesome. Yeah,
he's just all around cool, cool guy. Cool guy. I can't say enough nice things about him.
That's awesome. That's good to hear. Well, hey there,
Angel. Hey, Angel. I was too shy to get this contact information. I was like, I'm not going to ask him. I'm like, no. But, you know, he was so cool. It was just a thrill to, it was a thrill to even meet him, much less, you know, be close to him. Like, I get to hug him. Like, what? Like, what is my life? Like, it was awesome.
That's cool. Yeah. That's pretty cool. That's cool. You know, it's always cool to hear, like, when we see the actors and actresses, like, that's why with my show, I like to, you know, people have their different styles and they're like, so tell me more about, you know, I like laid back kind of because I want like the audience to get to know the actress or the actor as a person, you know, like who they are. And they can identify with you more, like when they see you on the screen and they can still, you know, identify with you like a real life person, like, oh, I know it, you know, like funny stories, you know what I mean, just kind of like little things you get to learn about.
Makes them more real. I'm very laid back and I, you know, I enjoy getting to know people anyway, and I like the idea of people, you know, at least getting a little peek at who I am. I mean, you really, I am on this movie anyway, I am nobody. Like, it is like a freak of nature thing that I got this part. Not really, but I mean, it is in some ways, because it's just like, and there was a point, I know, because I found out that there was a point that, you know, at least one producer, maybe more, I'm not sure, was like pushing for a name actress to come in. And the director, Ricky Staub, the great, wonderful Ricky Staub, making his feature film debut, I'm so proud of him. He pushed for me. He was like, I'm impressed with her. I've met her. She did it again in the audition room. I want her. So, I mean, really, without him and, you know, my manager, Georgianne, and also the casting person, Diane Heary, who is someone I've gotten to know a bit as well, they really all kind of pushed in their own ways for me to get this part. So I'm just so grateful, because honestly, it's like the day that I shot that scene with Idris, you know, we're in the heart of North Philadelphia and we're on a residential street and people are literally like leaning out their windows, and just out of camera frame, there's like a crowd of women just standing there. And it's like, I remember like going back to, like they said, oh, you know, reset, we're going back to the top of the shot, and I'd have to, you know, go back to the beginning, and I would catch glimpses of these women sort of looking at me like, who is that? Like, who is she? We don't recognize her. Who that? Like, who, you know, and it's like, yeah, no, I'm no one. Like, you don't know me. I am absolutely no one in this. So it's very cool in that sense. And so, yeah, the podcasts have been really, really fun for me because it's like, yeah, no one knows who I am. This is fun. Now it's like, hi, it's me, it's Liz, you know, it's fun.
Yeah, most definitely, most definitely. And that's cool you have people supportive that way, because it's like, how are you ever going to be that main person if you don't ever get that shot? You know what I mean? It's like, you work so hard to get to that place and you're like, well, if you give me a chance, I'll be
there. Exactly. I mean, you know, I'm stunned even to now, like a year and some change later, that they gave me the chance, really. I mean, because when I got the script for the auditions, I really was like, I didn't know that it was the wife of Idris at that point, but when I did put that together, like, oh, this is that character, she's his wife, I really was like, there's no way that this is the part I'm gonna get. Like, maybe a smaller part because they'll be impressed with what I did, but I was like, there's no way that they're gonna give me this part. And then I got the part. But I mean, you know, it was like, what?
Yeah. I know, right? Little did you
yeah,
know.
I was like, really? You know?
Yeah, that's awesome. You have such a, even though there's so much more to you, you know, I can't be with you for like a whole week. Never know, maybe. But, you know, but you have an amazing, like for me, it's inspirational, and it's like, what would you tell somebody that, you know, basically has something very, with what you've gone through and your story, and what would you say to someone else that is, and was in the same or in the same position, wanting to, because it seemed like with you, well, not seemed like it was, every time you got somewhere, you wanted to, more the next, you know, you theater, you're like, okay, well, I want to do this, then you're like, okay, now I want to be on the, you know, the big screen, and that's what it should be. You should always want more. Mm-hmm. You know, and but you know, a lot of obstacles are put in people's way. Mm-hmm. Sometimes self-doubt, or you know, sometimes just color of our skin, yeah, sometimes, absolutely. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But what would you tell
say,
someone,
you know, I most of my detours have been exactly that, detours. I knew from when I was a kid, mm-hmm. making movies specifically was what I wanted to do. So my advice would be, it's, you know, it sounds cliche, but it is, don't give up. It's taken me 25, 26 years to get to my film debut. But I mean, look who I'm debuting with. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You know, have had many, many stumbles along the way, or detours, as I call them. You know, like when I had my daughter 13 years ago, I was thinking, I'm done. I'm not going to be able to do this anymore. There's no way I can make this work as a single parent. But, you know, quickly realized, well, if this is the thing I'm passionate about, I'll figure it out. And I did. But, you know, you have to, if this is the thing you are passionate about, if you cannot do anything else, you have tried to do everything else, this is the one thing that gets you up in the morning and moves you through the day, and the one thing you think about at night, then don't give up, no matter how long it takes you. I went to one of the most prestigious musical theater schools in the country for college, and it's really surprising to me to see how many of my classmates are not performing professionally now, because they were all so talented. They're all so talented. And some of them are performing here and there, and others have gone into similar career paths in the industry, and then some people have gotten out of it altogether. But there's not a lot of us that are acting for a living. And I'm always surprised by that, because I just, to me, it was like, there's no other option. So I'm not going to give up on that. And so my advice to anyone in any field, whatever your passion is, you're going to have those setbacks, those detours that are going to take you further from your goal for a little while. But if you promise yourself that you won't give up, then you can use each one of those detours to just be a stepping stone to get to where you want to be. I mean, each job that I've ever had in any industry, and I've worked in a lot, has been a stepping stone to get me here. Whether it was I need to stack my money before I can, you know, quit working 9 to 5s, or I need to do a bunch of plays so I can put some credits on my resume before I go out and find a manager who can get me film work, or, you know, whatever, what have you. You just don't give up. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. I loved it. And it's true. You're right. Yeah. Just don't give up when you're passionate about something. Just no matter what anybody says, like, that's not realistic.
Oh, yeah.
You know, don't listen.
I've had many people over the years try to tell me why pursuing acting was not a good idea, why it's unrealistic. I mean, my parents have always been very supportive. They've always been like, you know, pursue your dreams. We want you to be happy. But there have been times along the way where even they have been like, well, you know, this kind of, it's a dream world that you're trying to enter. Everyone and their mom wants to be an actor, and you could be good, but that doesn't mean that you're going to make it. Now, we're not saying don't try, but you have to be realistic in that, you know, everybody tries to make it. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's not about what other people say or what other people believe you're capable of. It's you know, figuring out who you need to get to know or where you need to get to your next move, or, you know, just keep hustling. Don't give up, because the best feeling in the world for me in this whole process has been, besides meeting Idris and making a movie, has been people's comments on Facebook or on, you know, texts or emails saying, wow, I'm so proud of you for never giving up, because I know that people told you along the way, or even saying I was one of them, I remember telling you this was not going to happen for you, and look at you now. And I'm like, yeah, I take somewhat of a sick pleasure in rubbing that in your face right now. So yeah, it's, you know, don't give up. That's it.
I like that. I love it. That's perfect. I'm going to use that. I'm going to highlight this part right here, because so many more people need to hear it.
Someone needs to hear it. Someone's listening.
Yes. But well, I am. I'm listening. I'm like, see? They said it too. So.
She's the expert. Yeah, right. Yeah. If I was an expert, I would have figured out how to make it work a long time ago, 25 years ago, but... Yeah, you know, I'm so grateful to be where I am now. I mean, I'm sitting here being like, I was in a movie with Idris Elba. I played his wife, you know. Got the picture on my phone to prove it.
I'm pretty sure there's more to come, you know, because you didn't get here by not being good at what you do. So, I mean, great actress and you know what I mean? So you knew what you were doing. Yeah, most definitely. Sometimes you can't say that about everybody, you know? I'll be honest with you.
The reviews that came out after it premiered at Toronto 3 weeks ago have been pretty cool, and I've gotten mentioned in a few. So that was interesting, and somebody tweeted about me, which was like, what? My mind.
See, when they get to tweeting, you in there, you tweet, they tweeting, like, they tweeting.
I'm so taken with the woman who played Caleb's mother. Great, and I just found out this is her first film. I was like, they're tweeting about me. Blew my mind. I really do. I hope it turns into more opportunities for sure.
Yeah, most definitely. I know that it will. You definitely deserve it. And it's an honor for me. How you feeling about Idris? I'm like, it's an honor for me to, like, you know, get to know you and have you on, and then, you know, because, you know, that's, I aspire to, you know, to, I'm one of those people that I've worked so hard, and I'm not going to stop. You know, I'm going to have to, like, be not breathing anymore for me to stop. yeah. moving forward.
No, you're gonna go for it. You're so sweet. You're making me blush over here. But yeah, no, you're I can tell you're passionate. And you know, like I said, Steve, who brought us together, Steve speaks so highly of you. It's so like, you know, he's said nice things about everybody, but in particular, you know, he speaks very highly of you. So I have no doubt in my mind that you will be completely successful. See, Brandy, I'm trying to get the tears flowing.
Yeah, that really got me right there.
She's feeling all the feels.
You know, because it's kind of like that one, everybody has it, like that your parent or that one person where you just kind of want to, or you need to, or you want to know like how they really, you know, if they see it too. And you're just like,
I know that feeling, absolutely. Yeah, we all have that. But yes, he does. He feels very, I'm going to tell him right now. I'll be like, dude, you need to call Brandy. No, this has been an honor. So yeah, I'm just happy to be. I'm like happy somebody's like, hey, talk for an hour. Talk.
Well, Andy, you're always welcome here. You know, I know because there's more to come, and I would love to be able to stay in contact and then also see, like, you know, the whole process of, like, you know, just everything that comes with it, because I know it's going to be great. I feel it. I know it. You know it too.
I mean, listen, from your mouth, I'm not going to jinx myself. Listen, God, she's saying it. So from Brandon's mouth to God's ears, we're going to hope and pray that that is true. Yeah, no, I would love to come back anytime. Yes. Anytime you'll have me. That's awesome.
Yes, yes, for sure, for sure. Well, can you please drop some lines for the listeners to where we can find you and keep what's going on with
well
you.
You know, I'm pretty boring, so find me on Facebook under Liz Priestley. I you know, it's nice that I was tweeted about, but I do not have a Twitter, and I don't have an Insta or a Snapchat or anything, but Liz Priestley on Facebook, and then also Liz Priestley on imdb.com. those are both of the places where I will update things on the regular.
Okay, cool. And I'll definitely have that in the show notes too, so they can definitely follow you and, you know, and basically
follow you. Follow me.
We want
to
know.
One day
yeah.
I will do some kind of Instagram something or other if enough people are interested. But I will tell you right now, I think I'm very boring. I don't take pictures. I mean, come on. What am I going to be like? Tweet, the sky is blue and I'm warm. Like, I don't.
But, yep.
Pretty much. I feel like people will be like, she's incredibly boring. So, yeah. But no, that's where you can find me, Facebook and IMDb.
All right. Well, thank you so much. You're the best. You're so sweet. You're so funny, too.
Thank
so that makes
you
me better.
So much. It's been really fun. Thank you, Brandy.
Thank you. I guess we'll be talking soon. And like I said, I didn't say it before, but mi casa, su casa.
Yes, did
I say
did.
It?
Yay!
Yay.
My daughter's speaking Spanish this year, so I know you said it right because she actually said it to me yesterday.
Oh my goodness. Before we go, I have to say this. My son was trying to teach me Japanese today. I don't know where he learned it from, but he's like, can I teach you a few words in Japanese? Yep. I just looked at him like, what?
I mean, I would have been like, you can try. That doesn't mean I'm going to be able to say it.
I was like, when did you learn Japanese? Oh my goodness. Yeah, that's funny. But I had to say that. I didn't tell anybody. Oh, and they're learning stuff I don't even know. Just learn it. But thank you
You're
so
very
much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right, everybody, this is Miss Liz Priestley, and follow her so you can find out more. Thank you for joining us.
Bye-bye.
Bye.